Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
It's all right. Maybe we're just having a friendly little argument.
Let's talk about it.
I don't like confrontations.
I'm Jim Burns. When a conflict with our spouse or a family member, a friend, even a co-worker comes up, it's not easy to know when it should be overlooked or when it should be confronted. Then there's the issue of deciding how to go about confronting that issue in the first place. Well, fortunately, there are answers to questions about the right way to handle having a difficult conversation with someone who's really important to you or with that person who plays a very crucial part in your life. Well, during the next half hour, I'll be joined once again by best-selling author, Dr. John Townsend. We're going to continue our very important conversation on the topic, when love must confront. And when the day is through, well, I think you'll be better equipped with the skills you need for those hard conversations that are inevitable in life. So stay tuned with us today here on Homeward.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, graduating difference maker since 1899, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. You know, we talk a lot about the Homeward resources that we have available to you, the books, of course, the tip sheets, the articles, the culture brief as well that we put out every week. But our seminars, I've got to tell you about this. We do more parenting seminars than any other organization in the world. And the seminars that we have for understanding your teenager, passing a legacy of faith on generation to generation, those are just two that I think are germane to today's topic, because we're going to be talking with Dr. John Townsend about keys to successfully resolving conflicts. And where else do you find conflicts in homes but between parents and kids? For more information on our seminar ministry, go to homeward.com. And now here's Jim.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today, we're going to talk about how to handle hard conversations. Actually, it's a continuing conversation with one of our most delightful guests, Dr. John Townsend. He's the co-host of the nationally syndicated radio program New Life Live. He's a clinical psychologist and marriage and family therapist. His books have sold over 4 million copies, including the runaway bestseller with his co-author, Dr. Henry Cloud, Boundaries. He lives here in Southern California with his wife and sons. He's also the author of a book that we had him on just recently called Boundaries with Teens. And it's a great book. And that was a great conversation. Today, he's the author also of a book called How to Have That Difficult Conversation You've Been Avoiding. You know, I've been avoiding this conversation with you for some time because I knew this book was out and I really like it, but I've been avoiding it because it's so personal. I'm reading it saying, I need work.
Well, join the club. This is not something most of us have a skill at that's innate. The good news is, Jim, you really can learn this.
There's some good basic communication in it. But, you know, a lot of times we learn how to communicate from our family system. And sometimes our family system isn't very good at communicating. And so we just pick up some of those bad habits, don't we?
Yeah. You know, one of the biggest bad habits is, I think, and it sounds so spiritual, but it's not really, is only look at the positive. And people think that's the way it is. But, you know, if you look in the Bible, God's pretty negative. He's pretty negative about sin and hurt and all these sorts of things because he wants to solve those things and get them behind us. And so being negative is not always being bad. Sometimes being negative is the most loving way you can be.
But there's a way to be negative, and then there's a way to be negative that really absolutely stops intimacy and stops connection. I mean, I would say nagging, things like that. You're saying maybe confrontation is a good word.
Absolutely. And in fact, though, there are also bad confrontations. You know, if you've ever been on the receiving end of someone who's kind of got it out for you and wants to hurt your feelings, and you think, this really killed me, and they say, well, it was the truth, as this, that's supposed to justify what I did. Well, no. What is their intent and their motive? Are they trying to be reconciled? Are they trying to be humble? Are they trying to get problem solved? Well, that's good, but you got to decide, what's the heart of the confrontation? Is it for us, or is it so somebody gets a jab at someone else?
Well, but when you say the word confrontation, I mean, it's not like anyone really enjoys confrontation. I'm not saying, hey, you know what, confront me about all of my tough issues. On the other side, it may be more healthy, but, you know, how do you become a person who can even accept confrontation?
I think the skill is a practice skill. In fact, what you just said, I think, is one of the most healthy, helpful questions we can ask the safe people in our lives. You said something like, tell me what my issues are, my problems are.
Yeah.
I think it's really good if you're around a safe bunch of people, a good small group. I really believe in small groups, or a good friend or someone in your Bible study to say, you know, I've been reading in Psalm 139 that says, search me and know me and try my anxious heart. Would you help me with that? I'm not always sure what my blind spots are. Could you tell me when I hurt your feelings or you think I'm being irresponsible or not caring? And then the loving people will go, and I will handle that with kid gloves because they know it's hard. And that's how you learn how to receive it.
John, it's amazing that you said that. I was thinking before you even started, I was in a small group once, and it wasn't my small group. Somebody had invited me, and your pastor, actually, who I have a lot of respect and admiration for, was in this small group, and he was leading it that day, and he read Psalm 139, and he said to these gentlemen, wonderful gentlemen, you would know these men, he said, I want you to give me my blind spots. And of course, they teased. I mean, they're guys, and they're laughing, and they went away for about 5 minutes, and then I had the privilege, and he looked at me, and he said, Jim, sorry, this isn't for you, because you're not really in the group, but I had the privilege to watch these men give him some blind spots of his. But at the same time, it was an incredibly affirming experience. I mean, I walked out of there saying, A, that's one of the most healthy people I've ever seen who would allow that. And B, he was a better person for having done that.
As we all are. And I think that the best thing you can do, whether you're in a small group or not, is to get the practice that it's a two-way street, Jim. If I want to be able to confront my spouse or my kids or my parents or my friends, I've got to welcome them and say, if you see me contributing to this, you let me know also. And you know what I found is that the first times are kind of weird and you feel, are they judging me, beating me up? And after a few times of kind of like people seeing that there's good fruit and you get along better, it becomes a natural part of life. People just don't have to like worry about that anymore. One of my best friends in my small group will be having lunch and he'll say, by the way, you really messed up on this. And I go, oh yeah, you're right. And he'll say, okay, pass the salt. It's just not that big a deal with him anymore.
Yeah, and you want to get to that place. It's not always easy if somebody isn't as welcoming as you or your friend would be. Okay, so let's get to the place where we recognize there's a problem with someone close to us, but the person with the problem acts as if nothing is wrong. It was what I said in the previous program, high maintenance of the worst kind think they're low maintenance, quote from a movie. First of all, how do we know when the person needs to be confronted and when we should be the ones to do it or when we just let it slide?
Well, the Bible says it's the glory of a man to overlook an offense. And I really say, give people grace at first. I need it. I don't want every time I slip across the tracks with my, attitudes to get beat up. But it's when you see a pattern, and that pattern affects life, relationships, love, spiritual growth, finances. A pattern's a big deal because that's what's going to derail a life. That's when you look around and you say, do I have the voice in that person's life to say, this is a problem for me? And most of the time, if it's a personal relationship, you covenant together and you say, I always ask permission. Is it okay if I bring up something that's a concern? Because I sure would like to know if I'm doing things. And very few people will say, no, I don't want to hear anything. Most of them will say, be my guest. Now, what might happen later may not be, rise up and call you blessed. But most people will say, yeah, you asked me permission, and that's really a sign of respect.
I saw in your book that it said healthy confrontations help people grow emotionally, relationally, and spiritually. So in other words, it's not just a relational health. It really is an emotional and even a spiritual health when we confront in a proper way.
Absolutely. I can't imagine anything better than to be around people that are so on your side and affirm you and love you and are your best cheerleaders who also say, well, if we see life going off a cliff, we're going to tell you, stop right now. Those are the people that end up with longer lives, and this the research says this, longer lives, healthier lives, better jobs, better relationships, because they're in a constant correction path because of their good friends.
Constant correction path. You brought that up before. How do you know how to do that? Correct your path. You've gone off. You didn't say it right this time. How do you know how to do that?
Well, look at the fruit. Like Jesus said, good tree makes good fruit. If you find that people are kind of like reacting or avoiding, then you say, maybe I'm doing this too harshly. Or if you find that people are just sort of blowing you off, maybe you're being too indirect and too, way on the affirming side, but low on the truth side. You find out if you see people changing.
That makes sense. I want to give you a scripture because it's really a part of what you say in terms of how we prepare for a confrontation. It's in Matthew 7:3-5, and it says, why do we look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Those are strong words.
They are strong words. Let me give you a great example of that. So you're a wife and your husband is sort of detached and goes to the internet too quickly instead of talking to you and the kids. And he's a nice guy, but kind of not there. Your great American marriage. And you go to him and you say, this is really a problem. I need to connect with you when you come home. But you know what? I think I've got to confess something to you, sweetheart. I haven't told you how it feels to me. I think you think I'm just happy with the 2.5 kids and cooking and doing my part-time job, and I think you think I'm okay. And I have to tell you, I've been pretending with you. I miss you. I feel misunderstood. And it's my fault that I haven't told you about this. Now he can see, oh, it's not the righteous judge wife and the, you know, loser husband. There's two people that need to confess to each other. And it's much more likely to say, you know what? I've kind of like been in my own head at work. I'm sorry. Let's go take a walk.
I just wish you could come home with several hundred thousand couples and have this kind of conversation because we need your coaching. Actually, you can with this book.
Yeah, and the book is one that we recommend. It's on our website today at homeward.com. If you go to the radio broadcast tab, you find Dr. John Townsend's name. You can click onto it, and then you can find the link to all of John's resources. The one we're talking about today here on the Homeward Broadcast is his book, How to Have That Difficult Conversation That You've Been Avoiding. And we've been talking about, on this program, keys to successfully resolving conflicts. By the way, a lot of people like to listen to the programs again. Obviously, it's kind of the new paradigm in broadcasting, whether it be video or audio production. And we do podcast this program. So if you missed any part of this program, the audio is archived at homeward.com, and there's no subscription charge. There's no monthly fee. So you don't have to worry about paying $5 a month or whatever to get at the audio that we make available to you online at homeward.com. Just hit that radio broadcast tab and it'll take you to all of our audio. But we also have a podcast button there, too, that takes you right to our site on iTunes. So if you want to subscribe, join the 50,000 or so people every day who are podcasting along with us at homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
I mean, I know I blew it, but then I had to hear about it from Mom.
Oh, that's always fun. Besides, you never know when nice Mom or mean Mom is going to show up.
Seriously. I mean, it's bad enough that I got in trouble, but I'd rather be, like, grounded for another week just so I didn't have to sit through another one of her lectures.
If you're a parent, you may not feel as though what you say to your children has much impact on them. Well, believe me, it does. When a child messes up, she's already going to be feeling a little down, so make sure she knows that it's what she did that upset you and that you're not rejecting her in the process. After all, we're trying to correct behavior without crushing character here. So choose wisely the words you use when interacting with your kids. The kind of relationship they have with you will determine the way they interact with everyone else they meet in this life. For a free copy of my tip sheet called 10 Ways to Correct Behavior Without Crushing Character, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Dr. John Townsend with us again. How to handle hard conversations. It's a continuing conversation and a great conversation. I think every one of us struggle at one time or another with how to handle those difficult conversations. You don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. You get defensive. You don't want a conflict, so we hide and run and cover or withdraw and crawl into a cave. What you're saying, John, is that we have to be able to confront. Now, what do you do when you're going through the same thing over and over again? It's kind of the same dance and you just can't get anywhere.
Like you've got somebody in your life, your spouse or your mom or dad or friend, and you're arguing about the finances or about the in-laws or about the money or about the kids or whatever, and you find out we're just going in a circle. I think the best thing you can do then, Jim, at that point is to say, you know what? Let's stop talking about that. Can we talk about the fact that we can't solve problems? Every time I bring up, and I know I might be wrong about this too, but every time we bring up the money, it seems like I make you mad. It seems like I frustrate you or you don't feel understood by me. So can we talk about talking? And when we talk about talking, you're starting to put the emphasis on the other person. And this is very important to say, how can I tell you the truth and not make you mad? Now, there are probably some proportion of people that will say, well, you can't. But you need to know that because you've got a different problem now. That's a serious problem. But most people will say, well, I don't know. I mean, I would like to be able to hear the truth. Well, then you say, well, can I reassure you that I care? Or can I ask you if you're feeling condemned right now? But I need to be able to tell you the truth and let's solve problems and move on. So you're helping that person shoulder and take some accountability for the problem. And once you get the language right, then you go back to finances, kids, in-laws, or whatever.
So you have to go from the content backwards to get to the point of saying, how do I have this conversation with you, not keep moving in on the same thing?
Can I tell you a funny story about my life?
Sure.
When my wife and I first got married, I would come in and say, you know, when the early kids years and say, well, I've got a problem with this, and she wouldn't feel loved. And I would say, I want you to feel loved. I mean, this is bad. You need to know that I love you. And she said, well, I don't feel it when you're mad. And I said, okay, how do we do this? And she said, she's a thoughtful person. So she said, reassure me, because I think that would help. So I would say, before I would go into talking about money or schedules, I'd say, I want to let you know, I'm totally on your side. I'm in love with you. I want to give you all the grace there is. And then I would talk about the problem that was bugging me, and we'd solve it. And it was really good until the one day I walked in the room several years later, and I said, I just want to tell you how much I care. And she said, just get to it. Let me interpret that. The interpretation is, okay, I get it. We've had several years of this. I've done a lot of hard work. I don't feel bad anymore. And our language of confrontation and love changed at that point.
Actually, that's good growth in many ways.
It was good growth.
One of the things that you say about preparing for a confrontation, I thought this was fascinating, was to script what you want to say. I mean, a lot of times when we're in a confrontation or a heated argument, the last thing we're doing is saying, wait, I want to stop and write out some notes. But what you're saying is actually sometimes that's very healthy.
I think we need to script it prior to the conversation. Get around people that you don't feel all that anxiety and stress around and say, guys, I don't do well with my spouse or my mom or dad or kids or whatever. Can I just role play this with you? And you write down, you know, you're important to me, but at the same time, this gets in the way. And here's a couple of things I want to see change. And if you read it enough, it becomes part of you. And then if you role play it enough, it becomes part of you. Then you can go right in there. And certainly it's not going to be word for word, but you'll have a structure. And a structure is really important when emotions run high, because if there's no structure, then it's like two kids in the sandbox throwing sand. You don't have anywhere to go. So the structure helps you to stay on course.
I think that's easier for someone who's more of the thinking analytic side than someone who's feeling. You know, both Kathy and I are feelers. Sometimes it's hard for me to be on track because, you know, I'm feeling love for her. I'm feeling frustration. I'm feeling whatever.
And you guys might need a teleprompter. That would be
wonderful. In fact, yours and my mutual friend, Steve Artiber, and I were actually using a teleprompter not too long ago. When we were speaking, he said, you know, I want to get me one of those things, because you see the president speaking on that. Well, that's a great way to go. But we laugh about the teleprompter. But what you're saying with this back to the script idea, if you have at least even a little outline, you're not going to get off the path, and it probably won't be as painful.
Right. And especially an emotional person can then have it for, just look at it as an anchor. Mm-hmm. Sure, I've got love and sadness and anger, but I come back to my anchor and think, oh, here's another thing. I don't want to lead this meeting until we've talked about this aspect too. So it's not a prison, it's just more of a guide.
In your book, one of the things I appreciate is you gave all kinds of practical ideas on how to make them aware of the problem in kind of a non-abrasive way. You gave lots of great ideas. Choose the right time and the place, distinguish between preference and what's wrong. Talk about some of those.
Well, like you start off the show, Jim, you know, this is not something that people are comfortable with, and it's always going to take some amount of exertion. So you kind of increase your odds as much as possible by your context and your environment and your tone. So I always tell people, you don't do this in the middle of battle. You do this when people feel loving and as stress-free as possible. And make sure when you go into this that your tone is as loving and redemptive and humble as possible.
One of the things that you said as you were talking about this was don't go it alone. What did you mean by that?
Most of us that don't have the skill that we're trying to build in the book are going to need people not only practicing and role-playing with us, but also praying for us. People that'll say before the conversation, I'm on your side. I'm on the cell phone with you on the way to drive to the person's house, and I'm going to call you when you leave. Because, you know, if it's a really emotionally charged conversation, like your parents and they're getting older, or you've got somebody in your life that's really, really angry or kind of malignant, you're going to lose reality. You're going to lose strength. You're going to lose purpose. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to have people. I tell them, before you talk to them, talk to your support people. And on your way driving away from the meeting, talk to them, because you need to know that there's someone who's more realistic than you are right now to keep you steady.
In a part of your book, you talk about ways to engage following people, spouse, children, parents, adult children, people at work, people in authority, those kinds of things. I want you to talk about having the difficult conversation. Then I just want to say the word spouse, and I want you to kind of comment, and then we'll go a couple here. Is there something different in dealing with a spouse than, say, a child and having that difficult conversation?
Well, yeah, because of the nature of the relationship. Spouse is supposed to be your soulmate, so you're going to come into that person with some already assumed intimacy and value and respect and honor, meaning you're the person I've committed my life to. After the kids are gone, I still want you. So you have to convey that. The second thing is they know your life and your weaknesses and your frailties. So you don't pretend with them and say you're in any kind of a chair of authority. You just say, you know that I can be a mess too. So I hope you understand this in the spirit of one humble person asking another person for help.
Hmm. How do you do that with your own parents? I mean, they know your weaknesses, but it's a whole different ballgame because they're mom and dad.
They're mom and dad. And I really think the first thing we need to do is to look at what the Bible says there, Jim. You know, it says children obey, but adults are supposed to honor. And a lot of adults still feel like it's all about obey.
That's good stuff.
Well, it really helps because sometimes the most honoring thing you can do to a parent is to disobey their wish for you to be a child and say to them, you know, I know that you think that I need to, like, raise my kids your way. I know that you think that I'm supposed to, like, take my vacations your way. And I appreciate all you've done and the chair you sit in my life and who you are, but I'm really going to have to disagree with this.
What do you do in a situation with people at work? They aren't your family. They can walk away from you. How do you have a difficult conversation with somebody there?
That is different. There is no bond of love or covenant or anything like that. And work is an environment, I think, that you ought to start off personally at first. I always think that the personal approach is the most warm and the most appealing. So you just go to the person at the water cooler and say, you got a minute, can we talk, sidebar here? And you go in the office and say, it just seems to me that every time we're in a meeting, you kind of run over me, and is it something I've done or whatever? And a lot of times, you've, like the Bible says in Matthew 18, you've won your brother. But if you've got a person who's really resistant, you may need to bring a couple of coworkers. And if you've got a person who's very resistant, you may need to go to their superior or their superior. Fortunately, in this country, we've got things like EEOC and HR departments that there is kind of a structure for that. But I believe that you can do really, really healthy problem-solving conversations by starting off personally and not going into the structure until the person proves too resistant.
Thank you so much for your wisdom today. I feel like we had you in our living room or in our car, and you were talking to us.
Thanks, Jim.
Dr. John Townsend with us. What a privilege to have him once again. How to Handle Hard Conversations. The book is called How to Have That Difficult Conversation That You've Been Avoiding. And a lot of us do avoid it. And I really highly recommend this book. It's written by Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Henry Cloud. It could really save a relationship that may be in a tough situation right now.
You know, Jim, as you were discussing this, I wonder how many hours in the day we, as individuals, and then us collectively here listening to this Homeward broadcast, how many hours in the day we spend avoiding conflict as opposed to going through it might be a little painful, might be a little awkward to meet it head on, but the different patterns that we run, it's really interesting. A book that I know you highly recommend, Jim, and we are putting it up on our website today at homeward.com, is the one you just mentioned from Dr. John Townsend, How to Have That Difficult Conversation That You've Been Avoiding. And we're talking about keys to successfully resolving conflicts. This is a good place to start. For more information on this resource, check us out online at homeward.com.
Dr. John Townsend has been my guest today on Homeward, and we've been talking about how to resolve conflict with those closest to us, a very practical program. And in all that we've talked about over the last two programs, I think it's important to remember a couple of what I would call basic principles when it comes to addressing areas of conflict with others. Let me kind of cheer you on this one. First of all, remember that the tone you use in the confrontation is highly important. Now, take a deep breath. Don't yell. You know, calm down. Count to 10 if you need to, and then realize that you set the tone. Often we can negate the words we're saying when we use harsh or sarcastic tone. So the best tone, I think, is one that is warm and loving. Not always easy, but it conveys safety and it conveys care. And secondly, make sure that you are ready and willing to listen. That's going to make all the difference, especially in a confrontation. Even when you're the one doing the confronting, be still and hear the other person out. And remember, just because you're willing to listen does not mean that you have to necessarily agree with everything the other person says. But if he or she does have some valid points about your contribution to the problem, well, frankly, be willing to agree, to apologize, and to tell them how you plan to change. And that's a big one in confrontation. It's not just about you confronting them. Confrontation is never easy, at least it isn't in my life. And it can be done, and it can be done in a productive way if you're equipped with the right tools. Well, right now, Roger's going to give you some information on a couple of resources that are really helpful.
Well, Jim, one of the things that we stress so often here at Homeward is the importance of married couples. And we're talking to a lot of couples right now who are going through conflict. Married couples spending time in God's Word to work spiritually through these issues that just kind of fester over time. And they just kind of, you know, turn into fractures that really rip and tear at a marriage. The first resource I want to mention is our online devotional, the daily devotional that comes out online. We call it our devotional. It's a Bible verse and a nugget of encouragement from God's Word, courtesy of Dr. Jim Burns and the Homeward staff. That subscription is free. You can sign up to get our free online devotional at homeward.com. And also the book that Jim and Kathy Burns wrote, the Marriage Devotional devotional for couples who don't like to do marriage devotionals. The book is called Closer, and you can order a copy directly from our Homeward Online Resource Center. And when you do, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. It's tax deductible to you, and we appreciate that support at homeward.com. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.